afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host today, Dave Allen, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Wednesday, September 26, 2018. Hello, David.
Happy hump day, Melody.
Well, happy Federal Reserve Day.
Hey, that's right. That's right. Have you hugged your Fed chair yet?
Yeah, no, not today. But he didn't do what I thought he was going to do. So he's in the doghouse. So anyway.
Yeah, it's a free dinner is a free dinner. Something to look forward to.
There we go. Hey, the gold today, of course, with the decision and everybody waiting for this, you know, it's really kind of stupid. You know what they do. But anyway, we have the Dow. We have the gold down 670 today at 1195.10. Silver was down 11 cents at 1442. Platinum was down a buck at 827. And palladium was up six at 1073. The USDX today was trading stronger, 0.08 at 94.24. Little pressure on crude oil down 67 at 71.61. Paper markets today, the Dow reversed its gains from earlier in the day. It was down 100. It's still ticking through. We're looking at about 107 points, 26,385. The NASDAQ was down 17 points at 7,990. And the S&P was down 9 at 2,905. It's funny, when they came out and gave the information on, you know, at 2 o'clock, you know, the rise in the quarter point, markets actually stayed strong. It's only after the interview and the press conference with Powell did the markets reverse. So you don't hear him talk a lot. So maybe that's why. I mean, it seems Yellen was far more out to giving her opinion on data a lot more than Jerome Powell has been during his short tenure here at the Federal Reserve. But anyway, 10-year yield was down 0.04 at 3.06. Euro is 118, little pressure on that. And really, that's about all that is to be said. Bitcoin was up about 1.5%. But, you know, so it's we'll talk about that here in the second and third segment of today's program, because our first segment today, we have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. Well, hello, Wendy. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, Melody. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you. And hey, Dave.
Back at you, Wendy.
We're going to talk about if you are getting gene therapy and may not know it. It's a question. What do you think, Dave? You getting some gene therapy?
Well, you know, my dockers are a little bit worn and torn, so I think I'm heading to Gap for a new pair. Oh, you don't mean that kind of gene.
No, no, not the Levi's and Wrangler. No, no. Medical science is really developing new gene therapy treatments, and they've been doing this for a couple of decades. So we hear a lot about it now. You hear radio ads for it here in the Charlotte, North Carolina region. And there's been a lot of pomp and ceremony, accolades about gene therapy breakthroughs in the media, and it's kind of on a regular basis now. So it's not foreign information for people to hear. So the public really assumes that gene therapy is for, you know, patients seeking extraordinary means, maybe to address a deadly illness. However, is that accurate? So is it possible the average person may have gotten gene therapy and never knew it, or at the very least had no clue to the ramifications? So we're going to take a look at this fastest moving area in medicine and what we should know about it. But we have to define for you what gene therapy is to understand the significance and the importance of what it is. So the scientific definition of a human gene is a human genome is this complete set of nucleic acid sequences. They're encoded as your DNA, and they are in within 23 chromosome pairs. And then they're also in cell nuclei inside your DNA molecule. So this all sits inside this mitochondria, if you will. And this is your human genomes, and include both your protein coding DNA genes and your non-coding DNA genes. So genes really define who an individual is physically. So your genes are organized, they're packaged into units that they call chromosomes, and your genes carry your heredity. So more importantly, genes carry with them chemical instructions so your body can function properly as a unit. So science is stating that the number of genes we have will vary from maybe a few hundred DNA bases to over 2 million of them, which can indicate how diverse humans are. Now, your DNA is really passed on to the next generation. So the way you walk, the way you sit, your voice, the way you curl your hair around your index finger while you're reading a book, that's passed on. And your tendencies are part of that too. So if you let science, they're going to alter your genes. Okay, we're going to show you how they're going to do that. Now, okay. It's called the age of molecule therapy, and science has been manipulating genes for a while. Now, in the 1990s, science started to specialize in an area of medicine they're calling molecule therapy. This type of treatment involves using DNA vaccines, for instance. So when DNA vaccines are used, they alter the expression or the instruction in your genes that your genes operate under. So they're making little tweaks. And science knows that certain proteins alter your genes. And most infectious agents in your vaccines are proteins, and they're the perfect vehicle for gene altering. So the DNA vaccines will influence your gene expression. Here's a quote from one of the gene therapy vaccines. This is from Molecule Therapy Journal. It was an article based on gene-based vaccines, and it was 2001. It says a direct inoculation of a DNA into tissues involves a transfer of DNA encoding of infectious viruses. Thereby, it provides the amplification of gene transfer and could result in transfection of the host cells. So they have been playing programming through your vaccines every year. So here's a definition of transfection and recombatant. So the process of deliberate introduction of your nucleic acids into your cells used to describe gene transfer to infect a cell, usually with a virus. The main purpose, according to science, is to enhance or inhibit specific gene expression in your cells and produce recombatant protein. The recombatant proteins are the proteins encoded in your genes that are cloned and then are desired by gene expression and translation of your RNA messengers. So molecule cloning and protein expression are two of the most powerful techniques that are being used in science today. And that was a quote from Molecule Therapy in their 2001 article. So are you still with me? You kind of following? You getting the gist of this?
Absolutely.
Okay. So the public is really instructed that DNA vaccines are retraining your immune system to produce the appropriate response, supposedly to bacterial or viral infections. So that's what we're told. The DNA vaccines are altering your immune system T cell function or response to an infection. They call it T cell priming in science, and it is a strong link to autoimmune disorders. So DNA vaccines have this built-in adjuvant to contribute to the induction of the new immune system response, but in four different ways. In one of these ways, it affects how your immune system patrols for infectious agents. So scientists have altered that so that the immune system cells designed to alert your system. Now they just wander. They don't alert the immune system. Isn't that
sneaky little buggers?
Uh-huh. Well, this was actually discovered 15 years ago, and they called it immune stimulatory properties. So scientists found that the immune system naturally makes immune cells that have this wide range of effect, and they're recoding these cells in gene expression to control the immune system function. So their DNA vaccines can change the innate function or inborn function of your adaptive immune system cells that function. So in other words, let's say, you get sick with a strain of virus this year and you get over it naturally without any help from medicine. Your immune system made an antibody and you got better within a week or 10 days. So next year when you come in contact with a similar virus, your immune system just takes from that antibody from last year and kind of tweaks it itself to make it fit the new virus and you don't even get sick. So that's called the adaptogen cells that your immune system is born with. So they're trying to mess with them as well. So your new DNA vaccines Here's a list. They will induce an abnormally strong immune stimulatory effect, often producing autoimmune dysfunction. They convert high and low protein expression within your genes. They allow animal diseases to infect humans through an inclusion called species-specific sequence. And in some DNA vaccines require prime host or multiple immunizations for a full effect. So they, you need booster shots. That's what that's about. DNA vaccines include influenza, herpes simplex vaccines, hepatitis B, cancer vaccines, tuberculosis, HIV, anthrax, malaria, dengue fever, and various pet vaccines. Those are your DNA vaccines, but they're coming out with more in the near future. So your DNA vaccines are really evaluated also differently by the FDA. They need little to no clinical application to be called actually effective.
Wow.
All right. So any of the folks out there that are, you know, on the newsletter list, Melanie, they would get this graphic that medicine, I think it was either FDA or CDC, they provided this graphic on how this is done. So it's like a little cartoon, if you will, of how they are messing with your immune system. So that's all available if people are signing up for the newsletters. They get that kind of stuff.
All righty, fantastic. And, you know, they can either go to your website or my website to sign up for the newsletter.
Absolutely, and get empowered and know what's going on out there. Also, I wanted to mention, we talked about some of the organ harvesting, you know, donation laws recently. And to avoid the body rejecting a transplanted organ, science is actually changing your immune cells to not do that. So the DNA vaccines are coming in handy as medicine moves forwards. They use this with regards to transplants of organs for donors in the future. So your immune system and your genes will have been recoded to reduce the likelihood of organ rejection. So according to the Child and Family Research Institute at the University of British Columbia, science is crafting gene therapies to control the immune system T cells that would attack foreign agents, such as an organ that's been transplanted. And keep in mind that foreign agents are infectious diseases as well. So what does that tell you? If your immune system's not going to attack infectious disease, what does that tell you? You're not going to have an immune system.
We're in for trouble.
You're not going to have an immune system. Their research was published in the Journal of Clinical Investigation. So basically, patients will, you know, eventually not have to take those organ rejection drugs that really cost about six figures a year. Now, Dr. Catherine McDonald, she's with the Child Family Research Institute. She says this is a whole new age in medicine. We're doing cutting edge work. It opens up the possibility to build a gene for any disease where the immune system is overactive, end of quote. So the gene addition editing CRISPR technology you've been hearing about is messing with your DNA sequences. It's in a manipulator. It can turn on or off receptors, and how the cells interpret proteins is essentially your diseases. So one CRISPR technology can allow for scientists to edit genomes of living cells in an area which is called biomedical research. So it's not going to be long before science finds the way to merge hardcore technology, let's say bionics, with human tissue, creating the ultimate edit, basically, without any rejection.
Wow.
What do you think?
We always learn something interesting from you, Wendy.
Well, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. I just want people to be aware, you know? Because the human body really is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And I would think that an organic and pristine dwelling is what the Holy Spirit would prefer. So when they're rewriting genetic code, it's not the same as rewriting computer code that can be restored later. So what you have is a DNA rewrite, and it doesn't just affect you. It is, the change is permanent. It's passed on to the next generation. So I wouldn't trust medical science with anything that attempts to undermine what God created. So keep in mind that your flu season's coming up, and you're going to have a lot of DNA influenza vaccines circulating with a lot of gene therapy disguised as a disease prevention treatment.
So really, you can almost say that their main goal is to create their or to change you know, humans into this one little package that all is the same, right? Their little own human race. They're, well, you know, the, if the they're changing your DNA.
Yeah, the mentality, though, within science basically is God didn't get it right. We need to improve it. That's the mentality. So, I know there's great areas of medical science, you know, trauma care and stuff is essential, but this other stuff.
I think their main thing is they want to live forever.
You know? Well, you know, and that's what they said. Didn't they say that about, you know, the penicillin? Oh, now we have no threat of infectious bacteria. And they said the same thing about Titanic. It's unthinkable. So, you know, what science promises, you know, just take it with a grain of salt, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you know, those who get vaccinated, too, this year with the flu, that's going to be rolling out real soon in October. Everybody's going to get pushed to get their flu shots. People who get inoculated will shed that flu virus for about 14 days and start the flu season. That's how that works. So, you know, being inside and cooped up and washing your hands, that's part of it. But the other part is when you get the flu vaccine, you are shedding that virus off for about 2 weeks to other people.
You know, when I walked into my grocery store and they were offering flu shots, I just thought to myself, there's got to be something wrong with this.
It's free. It's free.
It's free at the grocery store.
Yeah, I wonder why it's free, right?
I'm just excited that I have a new word for my next Scrabble tournament.
Oh, what's that?
Transfection.
Oh, yay.
That's part of the excitement of, you know, knowing how words that you rarely hear, you know, fit into the whole scope of things.
Well,
So thank you for the enlightenment.
You're welcome. Well, Dr. Anthony Norris, who was a former chief virologist at the FDA vaccine program, he said that vaccines are an artificial infection. That's what they are. Mm. So he told me that back in the 90s. I never forgot it. Lovely person. He's deceased now, but he kind of blew the lid off of the scam on vaccines, and he lost his job, and they tried to ruin his career. So, you know, some people do step up to the plate no matter what it costs them to do the right thing.
Yeah, that's very true.
Right. How much time we got?
About 30 seconds.
Well, Apothecary Herbs is having their fall sale. This is the time to stock up on your cold and flu. If you want to do your organ cleansing before the holidays get here, this is the perfect time. 15% off, free ground ship in the United States. The code on the internet is fall sale, or just use that over the phone or on your order form. So, and save. So now's the time to stock up.
Give us your phone number and everything
toll-free
else.
Number. Yeah, yep. Toll free number in U.S. and Canada, 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. Thanks, guys. See you later.
Bye,
Thank you, Wendy. We'll see you again next Wednesday. We're going to take a short break. Dave and I will be back right after these messages.
We will find you acting on your best.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host today, Dave Allen, and Pastor Butch Paul. Prayers are still needed. I believe I'm going to be doing the show tomorrow with Beth from CSE Talk Radio. She's going to co-host with me tomorrow. So hang in there, Pastor Butch, and he's expected to be back doing radio shows next week. So keep your prayers up there. And there's a lot that's going on. And, you know, I think gold and silver really reacted fairly well to the Fed announcement. And usually, you know, we'll see how tomorrow goes. But it really kind of is hanging out at that 1,200 level for gold and silver at the level that's at, Dave. And we saw that the Fed did conclude its 2 days meeting. And as expected, raised the Fed funds rate 0.25% to a new target range of 2.25%. How do you like those twos?
Two mints in one.
And that's where it was in April 2008. And this is the eighth increase since the Fed began normalizing their policy in 2015 of December. And along with these latest rate increases, the Fed continued to project one more hike before the end of the year. That's in December. And they're also projecting three more in 2019. And does this mean anything? Well, the Fed is, they kept the target rate anchored near zero from 2008 until they began this hiking cycle that began about 3 years ago. And since then, the Fed has sought to normalize policy. I don't know how you can normalize policy when we have such a when we have the policy that we have. But anyway, they're trying to normalize policy through consistent but gradual increases.
Yeah, I mean, talk about things being relative. Fed normalization seems to be a moving target. I mean, the latest step in that, you know, along with the rate move, you know, came with today's statement, you know, where the committee dropped language saying that, you know, the stance of monetary policy remains accommodative. Well, accommodative is out. Although in the press conference that followed, you know, Chair Jerome Powell said, that shouldn't be perceived as being a change in policy. Now, markets had been watching to see whether, you know, the accommodative phrase was going to be removed after members had indicated at the August meeting that it would be time soon indeed to make that move. Committee members also indicated that it's likely the Fed funds rate would remain for 2 years above what they term the long-term neutral rate, as Melody alluded to a moment ago. In Fed talk, neutral means that its interest rate policy is neither restrictive nor stimulative. In other words, it has little or no effect on the economy, right?
And yeah, I think what you're going to see, any increase, the Fed's funds increase is going to be felt immediately in the prime rate and increase in the credit card charges. But its impact in other areas like home equity loans and lines of credit usually is a little more incremental. So, you know, the committee members are showing a more optimistic view of the economy. And I agree with that. But we still have a lot of, you know, how long can they continue to hike rates until you have a major impact? Or are they just, you know, the old boiling the frog in the pot, Dave?
You know, well, I mean,
seems to notice.
Time will tell, and I think we'll know sooner than later. You know, as we know, the Fed has had a difficult time keeping its hand out of the pot. And, you know, as a result, that pot has boiled over. And it's, it's created, helped to create, the last seven recessions. Interestingly, the Federal Open Market Committee also released its 2021 projections, which see the U.S. economy growing at 1.8%. You know, that aligns with their long-range forecast, but it is pretty far short of White House hopes for a sustained 3% growth, which I'm not sure anyone really believed. Although, you never know what'll happen. You know, the committee indicated another likely rate hike in December, and three more in 2019, possibly one more in 2020. That would bring the median range rates to 3.4%, where it's expected to stay through 2021 before settling down at 3% over the long run. Later in the week, we'll report how the new rate hike is affecting the dollar and other aspects of the markets, especially gold and silver.
You know, this week I was unable to watch much of the news in the morning in reference to President Donald Trump at the UN. And he has told world leaders at the United Nations that the U.S. will act in its national interest when it feels cheated. He repeated his remarks. He says, "We're no longer tolerate such abuse. We will not allow our workers to be victimized, our companies to be cheated, and our wealth to be plundered and transferred. My only problem is it's just not the other governments. It's the multinational corporations that seem to be victim, that are cheating the workers and their employees and so forth. But anyway, that's just my view. But anyway, so the president has stood up for the United States, and I applaud him for doing that. He also listed what he deemed his successes on the international stage, including withdrawing from the Iran nuclear deal, of course, and working with North Korea's Kim Jong-un in order to dismantle the dictatorship's nuclear program. He also cited his efforts to renegotiate the broken and bad trade deals, and of course, we all know mainly NAFTA is a big gain, and I saw some updating on NAFTA. I think they're going to actually release the guts of NAFTA, I think, was it next week, I believe, next Wednesday or Thursday, if I remember correctly.
I believe it could come sooner. We'll certainly report it as soon as we see it. Trump did take the most specific jabs at China. No real surprise there. He criticized publicly again product dumping, currency manipulation, alleged theft of intellectual property. You know, all the practices his administration has slammed China for over the past year plus. And now, today, the president's deciding whether to shut down parts of the government on Monday as he pushes for money to build his proposed border wall. The House is expected to pass a Senate House conference report on an appropriation bill as early as today or tomorrow. That'll fund the Pentagon and a few other agencies for all of fiscal year 2019. Now, since the Senate voted 2 weeks ago, 93-7, to approve the legislation, only the president's veto would stop it from becoming law if it gets through the House as expected. That bill would fund the Departments of Health, Human Services, and Education, and would complete funding, listen to this, for the Department of Defense for the first time. It would be funded on time, that is, before the beginning of the new fiscal year, which is October 1st. That'll happen for the first time in a decade if this bill gets passed by the House and signed by the President. The bill, H.R. 6157, also contains the dreaded continuing resolution to fund portions of the government through December 7th for any appropriation bills not enacted before October 1st.
And I believe that's probably the bill that I heard McConnell talking about that would actually have something in there on the wall.
I don't know.
Because when I saw him interviewed, I mean, this was a couple of weeks ago, and they were talking about government shutdown. He says, no, we're gonna do it in different parts. He said, we're going to get one through and get one signed right away because of the elections. And he said, and then there will be another one that will include Trump's wall and so forth. So I don't know if this is... It's not this one.
No. There's a third appropriations bill that would come after this, presumably not acted on until after October 1st, assuming this CR portion of the conference report is passed and signed. And maybe that's where the wall funding is in that third bill that'll be worked on next.
But you know what? Just prior to the program, that's what I mean. You hear so many there's so many different things and information that's released. I saw where Trump was saying that he was going to sign it, but he was unhappy with it and all this and that. So I guess this is just a wait and see exactly.
Maybe another shutdown is on the verge of being averted.
Yeah, well, they're not going to do a shutdown during an election year, but I think that's what this is all about. But the Senate did pass the final conference agreement that was reached in the H.R. 5895. As you mentioned, it's the first three fiscal year 2019 minibus appropriations packages. And as we talked, you know, President Trump has been back and forth on the idea of shutting down the government. House Speaker Paul Ryan said this morning that the president told him he would sign the spending bill. Again, so many mixed messages. But the government funding does expire 12:01 a.m. Monday. And as Ronald Reagan would say, well, there they go again.
Oh, excellent.
Did I do that good?
That was excellent.
Wow. I can hear him say, well, there they go again.
Oh, man.
Anyway, in addition to the fiery address to the UN yesterday that emphasized a claim that France will not sign a trade deal with any country outside the Paris Climate Agreement, President Emmanuel Macron railed against nationalism and stressed the importance of collective action in confronting the world's problems. And in a speech that followed President Trump's, Macron told UN delegates, don't accept the erosion of multilateralism. Don't accept our history unraveling. Our children are watching. Let us address the crisis. Let us work together to combat the inequalities on a human level, mindful of our history, blah, blah, blah. So anyway.
Yeah,
send Frenchie back.
We'll see how long memories last the next time those two are
together. Basically, he comes groveling to the United States. Yeah.
Yeah, Macron certainly didn't mince any words. You know, we know our president, who's a staunch supporter of Israel, didn't mention the Palestinian quest for statehood in his address. Macron, on the other hand, certainly did. He underscored that, in his opinion, that a two-state solution was the only way to resolve that long-standing crisis. He says there's no credible alternative to the two-state solution. You know, and another swipe at us, you know, the administration stated allegiance to Saudi Arabia, you know, in the Gulf Kingdom's own opposition to the 2015 Iran deal. Macron warned that we shouldn't aggravate regional tensions, but rather through dialogue and multilateralism, pursue a broader agenda that allows us to address all the concerns caused by Iranian policies. It's an interesting tone, Melody. Almost, seems condescending somewhat towards the U.S.
I don't know if we have it. I also saw a report also that the European Union, the EU, China, Russia have... Now, this might be their system. I didn't have a chance to investigate it a little bit further, that they have a system and where they'll be able to still trade with Iran.
Yes. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a...
Okay.
I think in the next segment.
Okay. While we're still on the UN, we have the National Security Advisor also talked about warning the Iranian regime that there's going to be hell to pay. Helk. I don't swear, Dave. Helk to pay.
I didn't hear that.
Helk. If
it's
they
a, it's a misprint. It's,
if they continue to lie, cheat, and deceive, or cross the U.S. and its allies. Of course, Bolton's speech was delivered in New York and declared that the Iran deal was the worst diplomatic debacle in American history. Bolton has argued for military intervention in Iran in the past and warns in this speech, "We are watching and we will come after you." Of course, they want regime change, but go ahead.
They do. They say they don't. Yeah. You know, the contrast with Americans' European allies couldn't be greater right now. You know, Bolton's speech comes just a day after, you know, the Europeans, as you mentioned, doubled down on their commitment to the Iran deal by announcing they'd set up a special payment channel to allow European companies to keep dealing with Iran while ducking U.S. sanctions. And we'll talk about that probably either right before or right after this next break. EU's foreign policy chief and Iran's foreign minister made the announcement of a special purpose vehicle. They made it jointly in English and Farsi after a meeting at the UN of those parties still committed to the deal. The optics of Bolton's "we will come after you" warning are crazy. They come just a day after this joint appearance and you know, emphasizing this nuclear deal that the U.S. exited earlier this year.
Well, you know, Bolton's speech, you know, he's, you know, and he's a war hawk, and, you know, he's, you know, goes on and he talks about the deal with Iran, and he says the Ayatollahs have a chance to, has a choice to make. "We have laid out a path toward a bright and prosperous future for all of Iran, one that is worthy Iranian people who have suffered under the regime's tyrannical rule." Wow. And he goes on and he goes on and he goes on.
Yeah. Well, you know, according to Tony Blinken, who was a deputy secretary of state under the previous administration, he said the big question is whether the Iranians are going to stick with their obligations under the deal and try to wait out the Trump administration, which seems like a long time, or whether the new sanctions and lack of economic benefit are going to give Iranian hardliners the argument to restart their nuke program. And he continues and says, "If they do restart, we'll eventually be right back at the bad binary choice between allowing Iran to have a nuclear breakout capacity or actually attacking them to stop it with all the risk that that entails." And that's exactly the dilemma he thinks the deal solved.
Well, yeah, they're not going to wait out Trump. I mean, their economy is too much in a shambles in order to do that. So I think they're going to have to make a decision pretty quick, I would think. I don't know. But we're going to make a decision real quick because we're going into a break right now, and that's the decision. And we'll be right back right after these few short messages.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Tell me again tonight. Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for the weekly newsletter. And, of course, you can listen to these radio programs archived and also live at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. But you got to go to the website, dgscoins.com. We're going to continue with the special, the 90% silver and a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle. The 90% are 50 cent pieces. Sure, it makes it easier to count, ladies and gentlemen. But the 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle, it includes all your shipping and costs, insurance costs, all for $425. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Prior to the break, we talked about how there was an agreement between the UK, Germany, France, Russia, China, to establish a special payment system to circumvent the U.S. sanctions on Iran stemming from the President Trump's unilateral withdrawal from the 2015 nuclear deal. The payments channel would be an alternative to SWIFT, the Society for the Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunications, which is the backbone of the global financial system that allows Iran to get paid for oil, pay for its imports, and finance its activities abroad. These five countries involved in this agreement remain committed to doing business with Iran, with the International Atomic Energy Agency saying it's still complying with the terms of the nuclear deal. In the meantime, President Trump has threatened that anyone doing business with Iran will not be able to do business with the United States. You know, he was also very firm today on Venezuela. And, I really don't know what's going on in there. And I saw where he placed sanctions on Maduro's wife and several other top people in Venezuela. So, not sure how that's all going to play out, but I think it's interesting. You know, I mean, it's all these sanctions, and they're just going everywhere.
Yeah, it looks. I mean, I have a feeling. I mean, he's somehow trying to get face to face with him, and I don't know for what purpose or purposes, but I suspect that this latest action is being used as a tactic for that purpose. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting, and we'll have to see how it plays. China has denied a request for a U.S. warship to visit Hong Kong. The U.S. consulate in the Chinese city said yesterday, and this decision comes amid the rising tensions between Beijing and Washington over trade and a U.S. decision to sanction the Asian nation's military from buying Russian fighter jets and a missile system. And the amphibious assault ship WASP had been due to make a port call in the former British colony of Hong Kong. in October. And the spokesperson at the consulate said that we have a long track record of successful port visits to Hong Kong, and we expect that to continue. And the foreign ministry spokesperson in Beijing has said for requests for U.S. military ships to visit Hong Kong, China has always carried out approval case by case in accordance with the principle of sovereignty and the detailed situation. So kind of interesting.
Yeah. Fascinating. Yeah. And on top of that, the U.S. State Department has approved the sale to Taiwan of spare parts for U.S. F-16 fighter planes. Yeah. Yeah, and other military aircraft worth up to $333 million. And that prompted China to warn that the move jeopardized relations with the U.S. I mean, these military sales to Taiwan, which is, you know, self-ruled, but technically, you know, is claimed by China as part of its territory, is, you know, it's an irritant in the relations between, you know, what are essentially the two largest world economies. Taiwan still needs to finalize details of the sale with the U.S. companies for these jets. But, you know, the Chinese foreign ministry said, again, that U.S. arms sales to Taiwan were a serious breach of international law, harmed Chinese sovereignty and security interests. It's ratcheting up. These couple things are, you know, two of what can become a lot of unintended consequences of the growing trade feud between our two countries.
Yeah, and that's a great way of putting it, because it's like you have all these little things that are just being done. It's not quite a tit for tat, but, you know, it's sort of, they're all flexing their muscles to some degree. No one has hit another one yet, but they're flexing their muscles, and it's, you know, it's something I would think eventually is not going to be good, but when and what, you know, still remains to be seen. Well, I know this is your favorite day of the week, Dave, and I know your favorite part of the program is your Brevity is Golden segment.
Hey. Okay.
And I think, and I'm a Scrabble player. I love Scrabble. And you're going to talk something about Scrabble, and it's going to be a short segment, ladies and gentlemen. So don't go away. This is really interesting, and it's amazing at some of these words. That's what's baffled.
Well, I'm sure a number of our clients, our listeners, are Scrabble players. You know, at least having played once or twice over the course of their lives. But to you Scrabble players, it's time to rethink your game, because 300 new words are coming our way. It includes some long-awaited gems like okay, literally okay, and ew, which I love, E-E-W, to name a few. You know, Merriam-Webster released the sixth edition of the official Scrabble Players Dictionary the other day, 4 years after its last update. You know, the company, at the behest of Scrabble owner Hasbro, left out one possibility under consideration for a hot minute, RBI, which baseball fans know means runs batted in baseball language, after consulting competitive players who thought it potentially too contentious. There's a remote case to be made, since RBI has morphed into an actual word, ribby. R-I-B-E-E, ribby. Okay, on the other hand, is something Scrabble players have been waiting for a long time. Peter Sokolowski, who's editor at Merriam-Webster, said, he said basically 2 and 3 letter words are the lifeblood of the game. Hear, hear. You know, there's more good news in the word, I don't even know how to pronounce it. Is it K-pick or Quapik? Q-A-P-I-K. Adding to an arsenal of 20 playable words beginning with Q that don't need a U. Apparently, Quapik or K-pik is a monetary unit in Azerbaijan. I haven't talked about that unit of currency in a long time, Melody.
No,
now, the word ew appears in the new edition of the Scrabble Dictionary. Late night talk show host Jimmy Fallon has to be ecstatic over this development. One of his most popular segments is called Ew. So that's interesting. There's some sweet scores now eligible for play, including BizJet, some magical vowel dumps such as, what is that, arancini, which are Italian balls of cooked rice. BizJet, you know, is a small plane used for business. It'd be worth a whopping 120 points on an opening play, but only if it's made into a plural with an S, BizJets. Sokolowski is a favorite among the new words, but not primarily because of Scrabble scores. It's macaron, or macaroon, I guess, referring to the French sandwich cookie featuring different flavors and fillings. So interesting stuff, you know. There are others. Coulda, kinda. You know, traditionally they weren't in the dictionary because so much of our communication is texting and social media, especially among the younger generation. You know, finding more transcribed speech, you know, and getting a new group of spelling for the dictionary is, you know, the topic of the day. So there are other words we won't get into. Yowza, zen. Yowza is great for, you know, the Dutch people like Melody and me.
I'm Italian.
Well, you know. Anyway, I can already see new Scrabble fights brewing over these new words. Can't you, Melody?
Absolutely. I didn't know you could use two-letter words.
Well, you know, I haven't used, you know.
I don't think I've ever used two-letter words playing Scrabble.
Yeah, I don't recall. I can't imagine that I haven't tried to use no or up.
No, I don't.
Preposition two, who knows? It's been a while.
Maybe that was our own rules, but I don't think we ever used two-letter words.
House rules are great.
I'm not even sure we use three-letter words.
Well, you obviously come from a really good English language program.
Well, anyway, let's go and let's talk about. Well, thank you for that. Again, I have to play Scrabble.
Sounds good.
Good to see. You know, we've talked about this on the program before, income equality, and of course that seems to be one of the most pressing issues here in the United States and even, you know, around the globe. But it seems to be getting worse as, you know, as we move on and as the economy gets stronger. It just doesn't seem that there's any big jumps in incomes. Would you like to tell us a little more, Dave?
Well, it's certainly changed over the years. You know, on the one hand, I'm tempted to say, listeners, get out your notebooks because there are a lot of numbers here. But we'll just summarize things here in this segment because we will run short on time, and just encourage you to read this week's American Survival newsletter where we talk about or write about this in more detail. Now, you know, it's no surprise to listeners that the richest Americans, anyway, have reaped a disproportional amount of the nation's economic growth since 1980, 2008, you name it, while worker wages have failed to keep pace by a long shot. You know, and wealth, you know, person's net worth with, you know, is even more concentrated than income. The Federal Reserve's 2017 survey of consumer finances data, Melody, show that the top 1% of the income distribution received roughly a quarter of all income in 2016, while the top 1% of the wealth distribution, the wealth versus income, held nearly 40% of all wealth. You know, similarly, the top 10% of the income distribution received a little more than half of all income, while the top 10% of the wealth distribution held more than three quarters of all wealth. You know, the Fed's data show rising concentration of wealth for the top 1%, a little change for the rest of the top 10, and a declining share of the bottom 90%. In particular, the share of wealth held by the top 1% rose from just over 30% in 1989 to just under 39% in 2016. What is that? That's a big chunk percentage-wise. While the share held by the bottom 90% fell from 33% in 89 to 23% in 2016.
Well, with the tax cuts, the $1.5 trillion tax cuts that were enacted last December, that'll only widen these gaps, won't it?
Well, for sure, we think. You know, according to the Senate on Budget and Policy Priorities, the top fifth of wage earners will get 70% of the new tax law's benefits, and the top 1% will get 34%. You know, the new tax treatment for pass-through entities, those are the companies organized as sole proprietorships and partnerships, LLCs, and S-corporations, will mean an estimated $17 billion in tax savings for the millionaires in 2018 alone. I'm not saying that everyone who's, one of those categories is a millionaire, but those who are, the more their taxable income adjustable gross income is, the more their tax savings will be. You know, American corporations are showering their shareholders with stock buybacks, thanks in large part to their tax savings, and have returned close to $800 billion to investors so far this year alone.
Well, you know, the 2018 World Inequality Report, which highlights the unique nature of income inequality in the U.S. compared to other developed regions, namely Western Europe, and the contrast, the report says, is stark. Just about out of time.
Right again. I'll keep it short. From 1980 to 2016, the poorest half of the U.S. population has seen its share of income steadily decline, and the top 1% have grabbed more. In Europe, the same trend can't be observed. You know, in 1980, the top 1% held a 10% share of national income in both Western Europe and the U.S., but since then, the two have severely diverged. In 2016, for example, in Western Europe, the top 1% had 12% share compared to 20% in the U.S.
All right. And I hear the music, and that means we're out of time, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll be returning tomorrow. I want you to be safe. And until then, and make sure you give us a call for our special $425. Thank you, Dave. And I'll be back tomorrow with Beth. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.